I want to start today, and let's go over to John 3:16 if we could. I want to look at this particular scripture in the light of the love of God. Something that I had shared in some lessons a while ago is that every time you see the word God, you know, the scripture says in 1 John, God is love. So sometimes it's good to just take that word, and every time you see the word God, replace it with the word love. And it gives a different insight into the scriptures, can help. So love is not something that just that God has, it's what he is. It is, he is love. So it's not just another topic we talk about, we're talking about God and his very nature. So John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." And I was sharing on this the other day, is that last Sunday, that if you just look at this one verse, John 3:16, you can break it up into like four little parts. God so loved. There were no prerequisites. He just loved. When we were yet sinners, he died for us. So there was no prerequisite. We were saved. He credited salvation to us so that our sin did not impose a restriction. I thank God. You know, and today in this society, you try to go get things and they say, this is free. It ain't nothing free. Because you either got to buy something or do something to get something. So there's a what? There's a prerequisite. Get a free meal if you buy one of equal value. So there's a prerequisite. But I thank God that there was no prerequisite. Sin did not hinder me because he became sin. So God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So in order for this love to take residence, there we've got to become a new creature in Christ. There has to become a change. This heart has to be changed. So you can't love with the God kind of love without his nature being in you. Isn't that not right? You can't do it. Because the word, if you just look up and you walk through the scriptures and you look up, especially in 1 Corinthians 13, and if you hold steady, you can go over to 1 John chapter 4. Let's go over there for a moment. 1 John chapter 4. If you look at this word love, or sometimes the King James will say charity, this word in the Greek is agape. It really means the divine nature of God. It means the love of God or the divine nature of God, not human love, or the Greek we'll call it phileo. So it just means, you know, we humanly love one another. No. Yeah, that's true, but that's not the love of God. His love gets imparted to us when our hearts are changed. He takes up residence. If God is love, God takes up residence in our spirit. Love takes up residence. So 1 John chapter 4, and if you look at verse 7, we're talking about this, the love of God. And I'm just looking at it in the light of John 3:16. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." And this word love here, again, is agape. It's the love of God. So what does it also say? "And everyone that loveth," everyone that agape, is what? "Born of God and knoweth God." So you can't even agape. You can't love with God's love. I'm not talking about, I'm going to love you. You know, you can't love with God's love without being born again. You can't. It's impossible. Can't do it. This is the Living Bible. It says in 1 John 4:7, it says, "Dear friends, let us practice loving each other, for love comes from God, and those who are loving and kind show that they are the children of God." So you've got to become a new creature. That's why when the scripture in Colossians, it said, we've been delivered from the power of darkness and what? Translated into the kingdom of his dear son. We've been translated into love. So love is in us. But if we don't renew our minds, how do you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? How do you do that? You can't. So your nature, your flesh becomes more dominant. Your soul becomes dominant. Back up a chapter, 1 John chapter 3. Just confirming, the scripture should confirm scripture. 1 John 3:14, it says, "We know," it doesn't say we think so, it says, "We know that we have" what? "Passed from death unto life." Brand new creature. Born again. We know we've passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Look at verse 23, talking about you must be born again. You must be changed in order to love. 1 John 3:23, "And this is his commandment, that" what? "We should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ." That means you've been born again, right? "And love one another as he gave us commandment." So this commandment that we have, let's go over and look at that commandment. Let's take a look at that in John 13. It's referenced in a few different places, but we'll start there. John 13, 33 and 34. I'm 34 and 35. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you do" what? "Love. You love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And I'm just going to go back to 1 John 4, because it picks up again on this in verse 11. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And so here, love, you could say, is really the characteristic of a Christian. If you are the body of Christ and it says God is love, then what? We are love. And we ought, and I believe it says in 1 John, we are to walk as he walked. Right? So now turn back over to John 15. Let's take a look over there for a moment. John chapter 15. And we're familiar with these first five or six verses in the chapter, and that you can't do anything without staying connected or being in the vine. But look at starting in verse 9. It says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." This is continue me in my agape. That's what that word is. "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my agape." You shall abide in it, but you've got to keep his commandments. "Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his agape," his love. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment." See, this is what he just got done saying in John 13. He's saying it in John 15 again. "This is my commandment, that ye" what? "Love one another," agape one another, "as I have loved you. Greater love," or greater agape, "hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you," he says it again, "that you" what? "Love one another." So this word, agape, this is the love of God, and it resides in us. It's not something that is going to come upon, it's already in you. Just like you became, you know, how many, you know, I know I had a supernatural experience when I got born again. All of you did too. It was a supernatural experience. Some of us sensed or felt some things, some of us didn't. I did. But how many can attest that from the moment you accepted Christ, things began to change in your life? Amen. How many can attest to that? Amen. How many can say, well, things changed in my life. My thinking changed. My heart changed. My attitude changed. Now, we may not have been perfect, but the point was that your heart changed. And all of a sudden, some of those things that you desired, all of a sudden changed. Why? Because there's an love took up residence. And so, this love that resides in us, let's come over and let's take a look at just what love is. And Paul, by revelation, gives us some insight into what love is. And let's come over to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And let's take a look at that. And it's interesting, you know, we focus on verses 4 through 8, but it's really interesting how he contrasts some things in verses 1 through 1, 2, and 3. And actually, verses 9 to the end, he contrasts some things here. Now, I'm not going to go into it today unless we have some time, but this is another book that gives some great insight into this. This is, I'm not sure if we have this particular book in the bookstore. This is Sparkling Gems. I think they may have gotten the second copy, but this has some interesting insight. Rick Renner, who's a Greek scholar, goes into some insight into the Greek about just the love of God. But let's look at the first few verses here of chapter 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, that word charity there is agape, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbals, cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, not some, all mysteries. How many would like to have all mysteries under their belt? A lot of us desire that. And this goes on here and says, and all knowledge. That's kind of a lofty thing to say, right? You have all knowledge, you have all mysteries, and though I have what? All faith. And though I have all faith, so I could what? Remove mountains. Wow. And have not agape, the God kind of love, Paul writes by revelation, I am nothing. So we talk and teach faith, but faith is really, come down here to look at verse 13. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, and agape, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity or love or agape. This is where Paul concludes this revelation. And then what is the very first three words of the next chapter? Follow after it. Follow after. So the greatest of these three, faith, hope, and is charity. And so some of us, and even Paul at the beginning said, you could have all faith to remove mountains. And if you don't have love, we're nothing. Amen. And so, isn't it interesting? You'd say, well, why is love greater than faith? Well, here's something to consider. This writer, Henry Drummond, he makes a comment in here. He said, why is faith not greater than love? He said, because the means to love cannot be greater than love. Faith was the means to God. Faith was the means we have access into grace through faith. So the means to God is not greater than God. Does that make any sense to anybody? So we can't highlight faith and say, oh, faith worketh by love. So the means of something cannot be greater than the whole. Can't be. And so, yes, it's important to look at faith, because as we get a greater revelation of the love of God, and love is perfected in us and grows in us, so does faith. As love grows, faith grows. So let's continue. And he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or agape or love, it profiteth me nothing. And then he continues, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So you can see here that love is greater than faith. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified, verses 4 through 8. But we can see here that a greater understanding or a greater revelation of the love of God will cause us to endure all things, hopeth all things, beareth all things, not just personally, but in our interactions with this world. Because when we talk about it, how many have ever heard this, you know, the only God they're ever going to see is who? Is you in this world. And so when people want to have a revelation of God, who did they see? They saw Jesus during, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So, you know, that hasn't changed. People say, well, what about God? So the revelation of God should be seen in and through us. How? By the love of God. And this revelation of love is revealed here. Let me read this in the Amplified. It says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, and it does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights in its own way, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. And as for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. You know, it's interesting. If you just look at that last verse, it says, as for knowledge, it will pass away. and be superseded by truth. Think about something. You know something today. And then as there's more, things that, let me say it another way. Things that people knew 40 years ago, that knowledge has passed away and been superseded by new knowledge or things that have been revealed, developed. That old knowledge has passed away. Has it not? It's no different. As you get revelation, as God reveals himself, that knowledge has passed away and been superseded by what? Truth. It's no different. That as we grow and we have a greater depth in the love of God, that which we knew is passed away. I'm going to read something that Rick Renner put in his book here. He did something that he did. It was an interpretive translation of verses 4 through 8 in 1 Corinthians 13. And to me, I think this speaks tremendously. I like this. This is probably the best I've read. Let me read this. If you want it, you can get the book, but or get the tape and write it down. But this, I'm going to read it exactly the way he has it. He said he compiled all the words, phrases, and translations that he's been presenting and placed them here as one complete text for you to read. So in other words, he created an interpretive translation based on his knowledge of the Greek. Verses 4 through 8 of 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love patiently and passionately bears with others for as long as patience is needed. Now hold on a second. Just keep your oohs and ahs because there's more. Love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. Love is not ambitious, self-centered, or so consumed with itself that it never thinks of the needs or desires that others possess. Love doesn't go around talking about itself all the time, constantly exaggerating and embellishing the facts to make it look more important in the sight of others. Love does not behave in a prideful, arrogant, haughty, superior, snooty, snobbish, or clannish manner. Love is not rude or discourteous. It is not careless or thoughtless, nor does it carry on in a fashion that would be considered insensitive to others. Interesting. I'll tell you, you get done reading this and you want to sit down and go, I need to make some adjustments. Right? Love does not manipulate situations or scheme or devise methods that will twist situations to its own advantage. Love does not deliberately engage in actions or speak words that are so sharp they cause an ugly or violent response. Love does not deliberately keep records of wrongs or past mistakes. Love does not feel overjoyed when it sees an injustice done to someone else, but is elated, thrilled, ecstatic, and overjoyed with the truth. Love protects, shields, guards, covers, conceals, and safeguards people from exposure. Ooh. That right there. Love, I'm going to read it again. Love protects, shields, guards, covers, conceals, and safeguards people from exposure. Love strains forward with all its might to believe the very best in every situation. It strains forward for that. Love always expects and anticipates the best in others and the best for others. Not just the best from, but for. Love never quits, never surrenders, never gives up. Never gives up. Love never disappoints, never fails, and never lets anyone down. I tell you, that'll get to you. How many of us can say we've disappointed, failed, and let people down? This says love never disappoints, never fails, and never lets anyone down. I tell you, it gets quiet when you read this. Because we do some introspection, you know what I mean? We reflect and we say, I haven't measured up to this. I haven't. But we can. Because it's in us. That which I just read is already in you. So then the question is, how do I operate in it? How do I do this? You ask a question. I'm going to read this. This was Brother Hagin's last sermon. I'm just going to read some highlights here. Just not highlights, but some comments that he made. This is what he said. And it was really prophetic. He said, you need to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. He went on to say that if you read 1 Corinthians 13 every day and walk in the God kind of love, he said that number one, you will find sickness will flee away and your health will spring forth speedily. Number two, you will find that the devil that has been harassing you and tormenting you will flee from you. Number three, you will find that the provision and financial blessing that you've been believing for will come. He said that you need to take 1 Corinthians 13 and read it every day. And those things that we've longed for and desired for are right in the love of God. And I'm not saying that we don't focus on faith, but the things that we've tried to resist and fight is in the love of God. This is something here. Excuse me.
Now you're properly dressed.
Okay. Thank you.
Because I love you.
Alrighty. Praise God. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. So this is something that Henry Drummond points out here. He said that if you will take, and I just would express this, if you're not doing this already, begin this new year as we step out of 2017, and there's some things that you desire, spiritual growth, physical breakthroughs and financial breakthroughs. Take this challenge. You might be dealing with whatever issue it may be. It could be personal issues, marriage issues, health issues, financial issues, children issues, whatever that issue is, take this challenge and don't see it as a challenge, see it as the answer, because it is the answer. Begin for the just, we do it every day, but just begin to do this for the next 3 months. Every day, read 1 Corinthians 13. Do this every day. Make a decision. I'm going to read this every day for the next 3 months. Because if you get by the next 3 months, you'll do it the rest of the year. But I'm just asking you, do it the next 3 months. And he said, acknowledge as you read it. Acknowledge that the love of God is in you. Acknowledge that the love is in me already. And then also decide that we will act on that love. Not just read it, but you decide that the love of God is already in me and I'm going to act on it. I'm going to act on that which is in me. And this is what Brother Hagin said. He said this, go ahead and act like it even though you don't feel like it. Act on it even though you don't feel like it. You're going to act on that which is in you when you don't feel like it. In other words, go ahead and act like you love them because you really do. And so as we close and as we step out of this year, we're going to read for the next 3 months every day. More if, you know, if you go to a doctor, you know, there are certain prescriptions. That doctor may say, you know what, that person needs more help. So maybe you decide, well, once a day is not enough. Read it two times, read it three times. If you feel like, you know what, there's things going on, I want some results. Begin to feed upon 1 Corinthians 13 because it has the power in the Word. The power of God is in the Word of God. And the love of God, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was love. So as we feed upon the Word of God, we're feeding on love. We're feeding on God. And it will change us, literally change us to love, with His love. And so you may not feel like it, but the feeling will come. The feeling will come. So we're going to spend some time looking at verses 4 through 8 a little more in depth, but I wanted to highlight this morning to give us a jump start into the new year, that as we step out and we go into this brand new year, it's going to be a year of victory. Yes. It's going to be a year of victory in every area of our life because we're going to focus on the love of God. And we're going to be more concerned for others' well-being and not ours. And this truly will become a place where the love of God is evident. Not just talked about, but it's evident. Amen. Glory to God. So take that challenge, start reading 1 Corinthians 13 in whatever version floats your boat, whatever is easiest for you, whatever ministers to your heart. Begin to read that and then meditate on it. What does the scripture say in Joshua 1:8? Let not this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but meditate on it day and night. and you'll make your way prosperous. So as we begin to meditate, just take the scriptures and begin to meditate. Don't just read it like a parrot. You know what I mean? And I can quote that. Well, good for you. That's good. I'm happy for you. But don't just read it like you can quote it from memory. That's good. I'm not knocking that. But begin to meditate on it and begin to say, the love is in me. God's in me. His love's in me. And it's transforming my mind. And it's changing me. Begin to mutter that and begin to think about that, and it'll change us. Amen. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that the love of God is in us. Thank you that we choose to act on it and act on the love that's in us. And we thank you, Father, for the transformations in all of the areas of our life because we choose to walk in love and act in the love of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.